The following is a presentation of Glad Tidings, a gospel community on a mission to love.
We have a wondrous and amazing God. We serve Him as magnificent beyond our imagination. You see, God alone inhabits all time and space. There was never a time when He did not exist. There isn't any place in the universe that He does not occupy. There is only one God, and He is our Savior. Isaiah 57 says, "For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with Him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The word eternity here refers to a seemingly endless or immeasurable span of time. Human beings, people, have tried to understand it by using words such as everlasting, foreverness, infinity, perpetuity, boundlessness, endlessness, limitlessness, permanence, and timelessness. It is sufficient to say this: God always was, God is now, and God will forever be. Ecclesiastes 3:10, "I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, God has put eternity in our hearts, except that no one can find out the work of God that He does from beginning to end." There are many philosophers who try to interpret exactly what eternity is. They try to discover whether or not eternity is just a concept, or does it stand apart from time? In other words, is eternity timeless? The verse that is on the screen says that God has put eternity in our hearts. It is not a philosophy then. It is a reality. And we right now, you and I, are living in time. We are governed by the sunrises and sunsets. We record them on a calendar. Our watches, our cell phones remind us of seconds, minutes, and hours. Job 11 says, "Can you search the deep things of God? Can you find the limits of the Almighty? They're higher than the heavens, so what can you do? They're deeper than Sheol or deeper than hell. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea." You see, ancient man did not come up with the concept of eternity, because as people existing in time, we could not have created the thought of a never-ending existence. We were born and we died. We were bound by and locked in to time. So God, miraculously, has placed eternity in our hearts. It's a deep and a limitless truth of God. But you see, God has no limits Himself. We do. His knowledge about our existence has been placed in our hearts, and so every single one of us can realize that this life of time leads us into eternity. Romans 11 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become His counselor?" You see, the riches of His grace are magnified by the knowledge of a timeless future in His presence. Never to die again, never to worry about anything, and never to have a termination of our existence. When will eternity begin and time cease to exist? Well, you see, God has appointed that moment. As a human race, we will have to face the length of our days, the time before the church is raptured, the 7 years of tribulation, the 1,000 years of the millennium, the judgment seats, Satan being loosed again for a season, and then in the distant future, time will be no more. Revelation 10 and 5. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be a delay no longer. In King James, there should be time no more. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when it's about to sound, the mystery of God at that point will be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. God is someday in the future going to give the order. No more delay. Stop the clock. Time is ending. Eternity, one fantastic, never-ending day will begin. We actually, anxiously as humans, wait for the countdown to begin. Many believe that it will start with the rapture of the church. But please remember, God is not in any hurry. Creation may groan to be delivered, but everything is in God's hands, and he will do all things perfectly well. Lord, Psalm 90 says, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight is like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. I trust that you, a creature of time, are preparing for eternity. The Bible gives us certain signs to look for prior to the coming of Christ and the closing days of time. Now, Jesus said that no man knows the day nor the hour, but he challenged us to know the seasons. 2 Timothy 3, 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. Now, I don't need to tell you that we are living in perilous times. More than $3 billion a year is spent on cell phone pornography. I said cell phone. When you add computers and cable television to that price, the tag is $13 billion. Now, I know that there have been 60 million abortions in the United States, but around the world, there have been 1,463,645,611. That was when I typed this out. It's much more now. It is nearly impossible to keep up with the statistics. Around the world, there are 63 abortions every minute of every day. That is more than one life terminated per second. There are protests, riots, uprising all over the world today. I'm going to add to that parades. Do the words in that scripture bring anything to mind? They're marching today in the streets of Vancouver. Matthew 24:7. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in many places. Believe it or not, we are living in a world of hunger. You wouldn't know it by the look on the shelves of our super grocery stores, But 7,665,000 people die of starvation every year. 1,250,000 of those deaths are children. In other words, one person dies from hunger every 4 seconds. Today, 21,000 around the world will die. The next time you are in a restaurant, look at all of the uneaten food that is thrown away. One person said that if that amount of wasted food could be captured by us, we could feed those who are starving to death. Matthew 24. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Violent crime is on a rapid increase. A gang called MS-13 has 10,000 members in the United States and tens of thousands of members in other countries. They engage in hire for murder or murder for hire, human trafficking, drugs. MS-13 gang members sport numerous tattoos on their bodies and faces, and they wear the blue and white colors taken from the El Salvador flag. Folks, it's like something out of a horror movie, the way these men tattoo themselves. Members typically range in age from 11 to 40 years old. Their progressive increase in violent activities and attacks against police officers has made them the most feared gang in the United States. MS-13 criminal activities include gun running, theft, prostitution, including child prostitution, arson, and strong-arming the local people and businessmen. When I was reading about them, I was shocked to discover that as early as 2008, MS-13 members were already operating in British Columbia. This isn't science fiction. It's real, and it's blatant lawlessness. Matthew 24 says, because of this lawlessness or this sin, because it abounds, the love of many will grow cold. You see, the world is abounding in sin. Sin has crept into the church, causing many members to grow cold in their relationship with Jesus. Christ warns us in Revelation 2 and 4. He says to the church, I have this against you. You've lost your first love. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or I'm going to come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Do you remember when society was different? Maybe you didn't have to lock your doors at night. Do you remember when you were different? You see, we never dreamed we'd see a day when Christians would be beheaded, prayer and Bible would be taken out of our schools, homosexuality and abortion would become normal, and there would be more divorces statistically in the church than in the world. In Matthew 24, Jesus says these words, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation is going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And then he says, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. The frequency and intensity of war is greatly increasing. Over the past century, there have been over 200 wars and conflicts that have brought death to well over 150 million people. There has not been one single day where war or conflict hasn't been fought in the last 100 years. New weapons make the coming war more horrendous because they have laser-guided bullets, radio waves that allow a person to see through walls, technology that can allow pilots to see through foliage. North Korea now has the capability to hit the United States. If they took aim at Seattle, those living in Seattle would have 30 minutes warning. Those living in Japan would have a 10-minute warning. And those living in South Korea would have 0 minutes to prepare. A ground attack would stage 28,000 American soldiers, which we have on the DMZ, against 600,000 North Koreans. 600,000 against 28,000, and they're all ready to go. They have an army of more than 1 million. Daniel 12 and 4. Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. There are 5,000 airplanes over the United States at any given time, and more than 500,000 passengers are in the air around the world. Airports are overcrowded, and so are the highways. There are 250 million registered vehicles in the United States. We are really running to and fro. In our lifetime, knowledge has greatly increased. And that's what Jesus says to Daniel. Knowledge is going to increase. If you're my age, I was born in 1944. I was alive before television, penicillin, polio shots, frozen foods, Xerox, contact lenses, Frisbee, plastic, the pill, radar, credit cards, split atoms, laser beams, tape recorders, VCRs, ballpoint pens, electric blankets, drip dry clothes, pantyhose, before man walked on the moon. Man, I've seen a lot of stuff. Take that away from me, I might be naked, I don't know. How many of you remember when dishwashers were human? Do you remember when clothes dryers were long ropes? To have your air conditioned, you got a pot of melting ice and blew a fan over it. How many remember when jogging had something to do with memory? Draft dodgers were people who closed their front doors when the evening breeze started. We preceded gay rights and computer dating. We had not heard of FM radio, electric typewriters, tape decks, CDs, DVDs, artificial hearts, word processors, or yogurt. And a chip was a piece of wood. Hardware was a store, and we had never heard of software. And bites, B-Y-T-E-S, bites, was something you got from a mosquito. No one ever heard of pizza or instant coffee, or McDonald's, and a Whopper was just a big fish. Pepsi was 5 cents a bottle. A Walkman was a man who liked to hike. Back then, 5 and 10 cent stores actually sold things for a nickel or a dime. Even ice cream cones were a dime. Soft drinks were also 10 cents, and you could ride a bus for a nickel. 2 cents mailed a letter across town. You could buy a brand new Chevy for $600, and gas for it was 11 cents a gallon. By the time I got my driver's license, gasoline had gone way up to 13 cents a gallon. If my dad gave me a dollar, I could go pick up a girl, go to a drive-in restaurant, and still have change left over. When I was young, grass was something you mowed. Coke was a cold drink. Pot was something you cooked in. AIDS, well, they were helpers in the principal's office. Knowledge has been increased. Matthew 24:7. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Current graphs clearly show an alarming worldwide trend of increasing earthquake strength and frequency. By the way, we live on a fault line here, so keep your seatbelt fastened. A series of massive earthquakes within 2 days in 2012 prompted an earthquake expert to suggest that the earth is cracking up. Over 3,000 notable earthquakes hit Japan in 2012, 5,000 hit Mexico in 2012, and now every month around the world there are 3,000 earthquakes or tremors. There are many other prophetic signs. It would take several sermons to go through them, such as the persecution of Christians. We're seeing it around the world that was foretold. Man's ability to destroy the earth. We see where one third of humanity is going to be destroyed. Man could never do that, but they can now with nuclear weapons. The mark of the beast and him controlling us buying or selling, that would never have happened, but now with credit cards, of course, it can. Scoffers. Where is the promise of his coming? Ha, 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 he's not coming again. And those making light of Christianity. There are hundreds of court cases being waged right now in the United States, and I don't know about Canada. Christians' rights are being taken away. 2 Peter 3 and 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord God, because of which the heavens were dissolved, being on fire. We sang about that. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, the earth's going to be destroyed, the heavens are going to fall, I mean, the whole thing, pandemonium, my goodness. But nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, let me just say this. If you really believe that Jesus is coming again, and you see the signs everywhere, we need to walk as though we're going to be raptured. You see, the disciples didn't know there'd be 2,000 years. When Jesus went away, he said, the angel said, he's going to come again, just like you're seeing him go. And they tell us that the disciples, traditionally, when they get to the top of a hill on a dusty path, they'd look around. And the saying was, when you greeted, you didn't say, hello, God bless you. The saying was, perhaps today. Maranatha, folks, perhaps today. Do you wake up in the morning thinking that? Perhaps today? Maybe Gabriel is, if he's the one that's going to blow the trumpet, maybe he's already got the mouthpiece all warmed up. I used to play trumpet. And you take the mouthpiece and you get it warmed up and you get your lips used to it, and then you plug the trumpet in and you blow and it makes a sound, and the sound I made wasn't very good, so I had to stop trumpet lessons. But Gabriel, or whoever the angel is, do you think today he's warming up? Revelation 21. When that day happens, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. I just got word that a lady in our church in Naples, Florida, where we pastored, I was her pastor for 26 years, and she dropped dead of a heart attack. And she had been in a weakened condition from an illness, and her son, I talked to her son on the phone, he said, Pastor, Mommy had wanted to go to the washroom, and so I said, Mommy, I'll help you. And he said, she took one step, and I said, oh, Mom, that's a great step. And he said, we were in a doorway, and she went to take the second step, and she died in my arms. He said, Pastor, I'm so excited. I saw her last step here on earth, and I saw her first step in glory. What faith. What faith. If your heart would stop, would you be there? Or would you be there? Those of you who are going to go to heaven, God's going to wipe all tears, Romans 21 says. No more death. Hallelujah. No more death. No more sorrow. No crying. No more pain. All the former things have passed away. All of the mess ups. Man, if there's a big mess up, you're looking at them. I've made decisions that are so silly. And sometimes I get embarrassed, you know. You're pastoring. You're certainly not perfect. In fact, many times I felt I was the least of all the people in the congregation. And I remember saying to the Lord, if they need to clean their shoes on some doormat, make me the doormat, because that's about all I know to do. And then I graduated. He reminded me I have two arms, and so now I can hug. But other than that, I have no real talents. The past, though, and some of you may have some things you wouldn't want anyone to see. The past, because we're human beings, we mess up. We make fools out of ourselves sometimes. He's going to wipe away tears. But the former things, all of those things that bother us, that Satan uses against us, the depressions and the anger sometimes, the frustration, all of these things are going to be taken away, the former things. A while ago, my wife and I were on vacation, and we went to see my sister Ruth in North Carolina, and then I had a good idea. It was such a good idea. Let's take a train to Toronto, where we're going to see our son, JD. So I booked train tickets. Well, I didn't realize that it would take 12 hours to go from North Carolina to New York. Then we had to get off the train about the middle of night and stay 12 hours in the train station and then get on another train and go 12 more hours, 36 hours. 2 o'clock in the morning, we're in the Empire State Building trying to mark time because what do you do? Everything's closed. And I don't like heights, but Becky talked me into going up into the Empire State Building, and when we got to the up there, it was in the clouds. You couldn't see anything. And I knew we were really high. I just wanted to get down. That's a memory God's going to put away. It doesn't bother me that we were 36 hours, but you should hear my wife remind me of it. I'm going to make everything new, he said. And then he said, write, for these are true and faithful. Revelation 22, no more curse. No more curse. It's going to be like pre-Adam and Eve's failure days in the garden. We'll be in innocence. We're going to be enjoying life. No more sin. No more guilt. No more pain. No more death. And no more curse. I don't know if you have gardens in heaven, but if you do, there's no weeds. It's going to be a fantastic place. The throne of God and the Lamb will be there. His servants will serve him. They'll see his face. His name is going to be on their foreheads. There's not going to be any night there. No need for a lamp or light of the sun. That means we're not going to get tired. The Lord gives them light. And they, you and I, along with our Lord and Savior, will reign forever and forever. Eternity will begin. Some of us believe in the rapture of the church, which means that any day now, the church is going to be taken up out of here, and then all hell will break loose. Demon activity will be everywhere. We're seeing demon activity now, but nothing like it's going to be when the church, who is the salt of the earth and the light of the world, when we go, it's going to be terrible. And I look for him to come any day. I don't see how things can continue, because there's certain things taking place in the world that demand action, such as the thing with North Korea. It demands action. if a nuclear device were sent into South Korea, 20 million people would lose their lives. Perilous times are here. You need to pray for our world leaders, whether you like them or not. They are the world leaders. And God sets up whom he will. And a day of testing, perhaps even for you and me, might be just around the corner prior to the coming of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from our weekly gathering in Vancouver. To find ways you can join us on our mission to love, please visit our website at gtchurch.ca.